This is Sunday morning, the 28th of November. This was given to me yesterday morning. It was personally to me, but when Danny said something he said triggered this word about the three of us having more power than we know, and this is what the Lord said to me. Many, my daughter, have gone before you, and few have passed the test. So many have fallen. But you have passed the test, and for you there will be great rest. You will stand, no matter how you feel, and Satan's assault on you feels real. Do you have your things? Maybe I ought to start bringing them. My daughter, many, my daughter, have gone before you, and few have passed the test. So many have fallen, but you have passed the test, and for you there will be great rest. You will stand no matter how you feel, and Satan's assault on you feels real. You're known among the demonics, and they are afraid of you, and they know that you will not back down. You are also known in heaven. The bandstand is full, cheering you on. Take my beloved warrior, take heart, my beloved warrior, the best is truly yet to come. So when you think you're under the onslaught of the enemy, like I said, view it as a war wound, because it is. Because the devils believe and tremble. They know your authority. They know your authority. Don't underestimate the authority in the name of Jesus. It's the name that's above all names. And the demons believe it and they tremble. They're scared of you. That's why they bring the stuff they do against you as a deterrent. They know you have the power to bind them. You have the power to kick them off of your land, kick them where they have had residence. They know you have the power to get rid of them and send them packing. And so they're the ones that are afraid, not us. So it was an encouragement. See yourself the way God sees you, not as you, well, I'm not doing any good here. What? You know, I'm just so tired of putting up with this and all of this stuff. Yeah, but one day it's going to pay off when the records are brought out and the Lord says, look what they did. Honor to whom honor. That's the way God looks at it. This isn't for nothing just because there's just three of us. There are more. So I want you to be encouraged by that, because no weapon formed against you can prosper, no matter how it looks or it feels. We don't walk by how it looks or feels. Like I said, we walk by faith, not fake. It's all fake. This whole world's fake. The real world is what God created. All right. I want to talk to you this morning about what is money? What is money? All right. It seems the whole world is after it. The scriptures proclaim that the love of it is the root to all evil. This is 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root to all evil. That's where our world sits today. It's been completely, well, I won't say completely because we're taking it back, but before we started taking it back, the devil had every mountain of influence captured. And it was all for the love of money, the evil. We can see in our world today all the most heinous things going on, like slavery, child and human trafficking, harvesting of blood and human flesh for consumption, genocide, all has its roots in the love of money. Money has become the nations of the world's God, or the leaders of them anyway. Just because Jesus became very upset with a certain group of people when they were merchandising in the temple, he drove the money changers out with a whip. We're going to look at that because Jesus was about the master's business. But the church of his day, you could say, they were all about making money. They make a big deal of offerings and all of these things. You know, it's all about let's get the money taken care of first and we can get on with business. I say let's forget about the money and just get on to business. How about that? Matthew 21. Starting with verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And then look what happened when they kicked the gritty grasping money changers out. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. See, Jesus was draining the swamp. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So he went into the temple, and all he saw was what you see today. I'm not saying every church is that way, but it's kind of the norm, or it has been in every church I've ever been in. Instead of healing the sick and casting out demons and taking care of God's business, we got to make sure we have our, you know, the offering. People make a big deal about the offering. I never have and I never will, and the reason is this. I feel like you give in secret, the Lord rewards openly. It's not to be a big show and a to-do. Now, I guess there could be services where people are anointed to give and do things if it's of their free will, not coerced. God did never put money first. Never. All right, Mark 11, another account. 11:15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Astonished. Boy, are they going to be astonished when this new time comes and this other apostles rise up and different ones and start laying down proper doctrine in the church. They're going to go, Where have we been doing all these years? Nothing. You see, this is the church today. Money seems to be at the forefront over ministering to the people. This is not so in the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciples to do this. This is Luke chapter 9. We're coming into a new kingdom that has a different way of thinking. You will have to have a different way of thinking to even participate in it. Verse 1, Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. First time I was on television, this TV station out here, you had to pay by the week. And if you didn't have your money, they booted you out. And that's what happened to me because I didn't have any money. And so I just quit. I didn't have any money. So for 10 years, I wasn't on television. I was supposed to be on television. Then one day, we're getting ready to move. We'd sold our house and it fell through. We had to sell it again. So we cleaned our house out. Some friends pulled up a trailer and we filled that trailer up and we staged the house. And I'm in the recliner because there's no TV, no nothing. There's just nothing. So I'm in that recliner praying and I heard, "You quit!" And I come up out of that recliner like, I said, "What?" The Lord wasn't expecting me to stockpile money to go do what He asked me to do. He expected me to keep doing what I was doing. It's not easy when you don't see the resources. But if He's told you to do something, He's got something in mind, evidently, right? That's what He told the disciples. Money was never to be in the forefront. So many today, they beg and plead for money, or they can't continue to bring the messages that what they say anyway. Maybe they ought to not be on there. I mean, really, if that's the reason, if you're asking for money, well, you've got to support this channel or we can't do it. Money was the last, He wanted money to be the last thing they thought about. Taking care of themselves was the last thing they thought about. Taking care of the kingdom was the first thing they thought about. All right. Bringing salvation, releasing the captives was first, it was up front and center. All right. He gave His own example. On further down, verse 10 of the same chapter 9. And the apostles, when they were returned, told Him all that they had done. And He took them and went aside privately to a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed Him. And He received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto Him, Send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But He said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And He said to His disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and they were taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. So He was in demonstration of, I didn't need money. He heard from the Father. Okay, let's keep going. The kingdom of God and God's ways are opposite of the world's ways. What we deem as the most important, He deems as last. The first shall be last. The last first. Okay, we're going to look at how the kingdom system is different. Isaiah 52. In fact, don't you have a song from that? Out of Isaiah 52? It's 55, not 52. I think so. It says here in verse 3. Wait a minute. Maybe that is 53. Huh? No, it's 55. Verse 1 there says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me. Lord, he's giving you a key here to kingdom finances. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So to enter into this new kingdom, we will have to have new wineskins to be able to embrace it. Because it's not going to be like the world. It's going to be just the opposite. God never meant for money to be a god. It is merely a medium of exchange for payment. That's all money is. It sure is sought after. Even one of Jesus' disciples sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. We'll read that, Matthew 26. It's amazing how many people have sold out for silver, gold. Isn't that what this is all about? All the gold stolen and God restoring it back to the people that it was stolen from. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him for money. Everything that is happening in our world today is about forcing people against their will so the greedy graspers can steal the rest of the money. You see, that's what they're doing now. They want to kill us all off, force the rest into FEMA camps, and confiscate all your houses and lands and money, every asset that you have. I saw pictures of World War II during the time of Hitler's reign in the concentration camps. They had mountains of gold fillings and caps, mountains of glasses and wedding rings and stuff that they just stole off the people. They had been hoarding quadrillions for centuries. Wouldn't you think that would be enough? No, they want power. They want to control you so they can take your money. And then that think that as Christian, not just taking your money is enough. In other words, they want full control, which we see Satan's agenda here. He's about total control, even controlling God. That's his whole agenda. And these people are so deceived. They think they laugh at us that we've been deceived. At least we're waking up. What they don't see yet, what the devil's agenda is for them. He's going to leave them at Gitmo for dead. Or at the end of a noose. Or bowed over a guillotine. Whatever. And they're too stupid to see it. They're so blind they can't see it. All right? Let's look at it the way of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, money is something you plant, not hoard. Okay, we're going to look at that. Genesis 26. We know this story well, but I saw some things in it when I read it this time that I haven't seen before. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now, what is a famine? It's like, well, the boats out there, and they won't let them unload the stuff. The people can't get stuff in the stores. They can't buy feed for the cattle. That's famine. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then in verse 12 it picks up. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him. See, he went ahead and sowed like he normally did when everybody else was couldn't find stuff in the stores or whatever and were preserving and all that stuff they were doing. He went ahead and did what the Lord told him to do, and he had abundance. For all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. He operated in a different system than they did. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of spring water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac, herdsmen, saying, the water's ours, and he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. See, there's that Walmart grappling over toilet paper and water. Think about it. What's going on here? They're wanting water. They need water. So Isaac found water. He's blessed of God. But did he stop? It says his herdsmen strived with him, but he was like his father. He didn't strive. He just moved on. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and from that they strove not, and he called the name of Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He wasn't a greedy grasper. He let it go. Let them have it. They need it. Let them have it. It's like Abraham giving the best of the land to Lot. But look what happened. Same thing happened to him that happened to his dad. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. So he reinstates what he reinstated with Abraham. He didn't fight. Grumble. All right, I'll just read what I put here. Isaac never let money get in the way, and look how God blessed him. As heirs of Abraham, we can also receive the same that he did. We have this year for sure to get the harvest we want. It's a time to plant in famine, not hoard. All right, Luke 6:38 says what? Give shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Jesus doesn't like stockpiling. He told me a few years ago that your heaps stink. Just like the children of Israel when they hoarded the manna. They couldn't trust him for just enough food for that day. They had to, well, we better get a little extra here. You know, that's just the way people think. All right, Luke 19. Verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Do you know what a napkin is? It's called a sweat cloth. I mean, I wrote here, sweat cloth. I thought, 401k, stocks. You're toiling all the time over those stupid stocks, watching it go up and down. Oh my God, I just bought that and it just crashed, you know. Sweat cloth. He laid it up for a rainy day. What'd the others do? They sowed it. They planted it. All right. People have stocks and sweat every day watching the stock exchange. Am I right? People were jumping out of windows in 29. Committing suicide over losing their shirt. You can tell who they were depending on. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taken up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. See how the world operates? Yeah, let the migrants come in. Take all the money from the taxpayers and give it all to the migrants. Does that make any sense? And I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. The people that took their money and wisely invested it, sowed it, received a return, the Lord says, they'll get even more. And you that sit on your lazy rears and did nothing, you don't get anything. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. You know, getting that across to people about Jesus meant what he said, God meant what he said, and there's a day of reckoning coming. Whether you obeyed or you did not obey, there is a day of reckoning coming. People just go on like, nah, you know. They do. They go on like, I just live for myself, do what I want. That's where mostly the world lives, right there. Well, the Lord doesn't see it that way. He said, I told you my word. If you didn't listen, was that my fault? No. There won't be an excuse on that day. All right, the Lord doesn't want us to sweat. All right, we have to change our thinking here today. Repent of all those old mindsets that have caused us to maybe worry, fret, stew about things. Yeah. It stops our progress because we are coming into a new kingdom. Think about the cartoon when we were kids called The Jetsons. Thought about it many times because I've heard some intel about the replicators. And I'm thinking, how would you think if you're down to your last dollar, you put it in the replicator and it makes another dollar? Or you need a new pair of shoes. You put your old shoes in there, it makes you a new pair of shoes. Or if you're the last banana, you put your banana in there and you got another banana. Would it make you think differently? All right, I believe the kingdom of God, this is the way it will be. I believe that's the way it is. I believe it's going to be, as much as we have been so conscious of what we need, want, or desire all the time, it just hangs over us. We're going to be just the opposite. That we have no thought, no care about anything because there's such abundance. There's no shortages on earth. The only one that does shortages are the devil and his bunch. There are no shortages. I was telling Danny that I don't know who even had posted this picture, but it was this someplace in the United States, and I think it was all Fords. It was just thousands and thousands and thousands of pickups and pickups, cars, you name it. Just away from the eye of people. No shortages. No shortages. All right. All right, Amos chapter 9. Behold, the days come, verse 13, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the tread of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So all the things that we have had to put up with, the tyranny of the government, stealing, whether it be through taxes, inflation, anything to just try to just rain every cent they can out of you, make your life hard and miserable, trying to take your things, taking your rights, taking your land. It won't be that way. It'll be just the opposite. Nobody will come and take anything of yours. That's the way it's going to be. All over social media, we hear about this being our Red Sea moment. And I believe it is. I believe we're at the Red Sea. The thing is, we've got to go into the sea. All right, what happens when we go into the sea? Psalms 105 is just a little summary of what transpired as they came out of Egypt. Verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. So they weren't sick or broke. Sick or broke. And I don't think they were tired either, because they had evidently, you'd think, people that had been slaves and their backs were broken and all that kind of stuff from the slavery, you would think that they wouldn't be able to walk. But God restored them. All right. I don't put a lot of stock in the med beds and the biohealers because I don't believe that has anything to do with the kingdom of God. But thank God, you know, there'll be some people that'll be able to use it. But to fully operate in this kingdom, it's not just going to be an automatic. People are going to have to learn. Just because the kingdom has come, it does not mean that people will operate in it. They'll have to be taught how to operate in it. All right, kingdom finances, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It says to cast thy bread upon the waters, verse 1. Thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. See, when you're sowing, it doesn't matter, because you're going to have a harvest. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, then the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good. So this is a continual flow, that kind of harvest. We know that God's ways are not our ways. But we've got to make them our ways. We have to make them our ways. All right, even in Isaac's day, they were fighting over water. But he didn't have any part of it. Abraham wasn't going to fight either. He got upset when Lot's servants strove with whoever the other ones were. They were fighting. It was Lot's servants and Abraham's servants fighting. So what did they do? Separate. So we know that love walk has a lot to do with it. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So it's going to be based on, just like I've heard talk about the quantum system, about it being a system of honesty and integrity, that there will not be anyone that has that evil thinking be able to participate. Sounds like God's system, doesn't it? It really does. All right, go read about Solomon. In Solomon's day, he had so much gold that dust was laid up, or silver was laid up like dust. And why did God bless Solomon that way? Because he could have asked for all kinds of things, but he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. And because he asked for kingdom wisdom, God gave him riches and honor and all that with it. He had his priorities straight then anyway. He had his priorities straight. All right. Those who are stockpiling for the rainy day must be prepared to lose it, for they surely will, because it's being laid up for the righteous. This is Proverbs 13:22. We'll look at that. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Like it or not, that's the truth. All right, Luke chapter 12. Lord talks about in this parable just what I'm talking about here today. This is 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Remember, always fighting over every penny, every dime, every cent. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If we're going to be rich, we need to be rich towards God. He knows what you need even before you ask it. Isn't that right? One more scripture here. James chapter 4. So how do we invest money in the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is if a man casts seed into the ground. Let's just look at that. That is Mark 4. And then we'll go back to James. This is 26. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. That's how you multiply in the kingdom of God. You sow it like you would seed. Not by the sweat of your brow, not with your sweat cloth. Come home in your sweaty clothes. Worked all day, worked hard, worked four jobs. Still can't make ends meet. All right, James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith, In vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So the Lord's wanting us to have a clear mindset on the kingdom ways. So we'll have less? No. So we'll have more. See, in the kingdom of God, the love, what's love? It's giving is love, right? An attribute of it. That's the way God wants us to be, not hoarding up, worrying about things. You know, during all of these 2 years, the Lord's not ever spoken to me to go buy anything. Not one thing. Not a thing of water, not a Patriot Supply, not anything. And I figure if we needed to, He would have told us we needed to, right? I mean, he knows what's going on. So if he's not saying anything, especially when everybody else is going, ah, you know. He's not in Walmart wrestling with people over toilet paper or water or anything else. So if he's not saying do anything, don't do anything. But we just need to keep our seed going and being planted, because that's the way the kingdom operates.